Thank you all so much. Great job. I always enjoy all the music we have here at the church. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like for you to turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I'll let you know a lot of our Sunday school classes are getting started back. Contact your teacher for more information there about times and places. And the teachers will let me know next Sunday. I'll let all the folks know when you're meeting and where you're meeting, if your room assignment is different. We're trying to social distance and do everything we can there to keep everybody safe. If you do not have a Sunday school class, you let me know and we'll connect you with one. So just kind of an update there. Some of the Sunday school classes, the adult classes, are getting started back. So just contact your teacher on for the information there. We're going to go to verse 11 in chapter 9. That's kind of where we are. And an exciting little story hearing this, I pray, will be a blessing to you today. You know, five times in this chapter alone, that phrase, under the sun, comes up. And we've talked about that now for months. That's just kind of where Solomon is looking. As an old man, he's just looking under the sun. We know he should be looking over the sun to the Heavenly Father. But his eyes always wants to get down, seem like to worldly things and things of this world other than things above. You know, really, just listening to Solomon, I think he's tired of this under the sun living. But he almost feels trapped maybe by circumstances and things that have happened. You kind of feel that today in the text, and maybe you are too. Maybe you're here this morning tired of this under the sun living, and you're ready for a change. If that's you this morning, you'll find what you're looking for in Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at the text this morning. We're just going to finish out the chapter. Chapter 9, 11 through 18. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and change happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. Then he's going to tell us what he saw. Listen to this little story. There was a little city, and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet. Don't miss that. Are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And we just seen that in that story. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Let's pray. Father, we understand the truths of those scriptures that sin do a lot of damage. One bad choice can undo a lot of good. So we pray, God, you help us eliminate those bad choices, those bad decisions. And God, when we do make them, we will. Let us know we have one we can turn to for forgiveness. And you'll give us a fresh start. You'll give us a second chance. You'll give us a clean slate. So God, I pray that we realize that truth here today. God, speak to hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Seemed like Solomon starts out in this first verse, verse 11, and just says, are things just by chance? Are things just random? And my answer would be no. Things are not by chance. I think a wise man creates opportunity. He ups his chances for success. Parents, I believe we up our children's chances for success. We have them in church. We raise them right. Now, it comes a time, it's up to them to make a wise decision. But we up their chances. I believe David did that for Solomon. He upped his chances for his success. He done everything he could for him. I look back, and when I decided I wanted to be a cabbage grower, Daddy upped my chances for success. He was already doing it for years. I come out of high school. He said, "Wendell, you be my partner. We'll farm together." You know, I had all the equipment I needed. He upped my chances for success. When God called me into the ministry, Almond upped my chances for success. People would ask me, "Wendell, how long you been in ministry?" I'd say about 35 years. My one and Almond's 34. So he upped my chances for success. He took me under his wing. So I would say to Solomon, no, a wise man creates opportunity. A wise man creates opportunities for success. And then in verse 12, he speaks of a sudden, unexpected disruption. Could COVID-19 be that disruption? I would contend it is for our day and time right now. He talks about fishes being caught and birds being caught. You know, a fish did not expect to be caught in a net. Birds did not expect to get caught in a snare. We did not expect this pandemic, but it happened. So if there are things random, unexpected, we can kind of see why and what's going on. Some things we have no control over, and we just got to trust God during those times. Now, in verse 13, and this is really where I want to be, Solomon tells a story of great wisdom. He tells us that. I'm going to tell you a story of great wisdom. And we know that wisdom can achieve much good and is therefore worth pursuing. That's what I said in the introduction. And yet, it may go unappreciated, and it can be undone by evil. You can expect that too. If you think everything good you'll do will be appreciated, will be noticed, you'll get a plaque for, you're in for some difficult times. But you do good anyway. And what you do, if you're not careful, can be undone by sin. The story is found in verses 14 and 15. Here, Solomon gives us a picture, if you will, of one of those injustices. It's a story of a little city and a poor, wise man. It says, "There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it." Let's just stop right there and just imagine you're in that little city. The king probably took for granted he could take this city. They're intimidated by him, and he meant to do that. But he misjudged the power of wisdom. That's what the text tells us. Just a little city with a handful of men in it. Think of the fear. If you're in that city, you're standing on they've closed up the gates now. Most cities are up on a high place where they can defend it. But there's few men there able to fight. They're looking at the horizon. Here comes this great army and all their chariots and horses and all their fanfare, you know, probably laughing, cutting up. This is going to be a rout. And those men are terrified. Their families are there. Their little businesses, they're built. And there's not hardly enough people in the city to even make a living, but they've struggled and provided for their family. And they look out and see this army coming, and they know in just probably a few days, all that is going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed. Think of the fear there. They're afraid for their family. They're afraid for their lives. They're afraid of just the unknown. Maybe they've never seen anything like this. Why would this king want to take their city? And now they look out there, the army has surrounded them now, and as we went to Israel and see some of these things, what they're doing now is they've surrounded the city, and they're starting to bring in dirt and rocks, and they're going to build a ramp up to the wall. That's what it means there. And when they build that ramp, they can come up there, set the gates on fire, crush the doors down, and enter in. The city will be helpless. So that's the picture there of the city. But it tells us in that city there is a poor, wise man. Doesn't tell us what he's done for a living. Doesn't tell us why he's even got that title. But they're terrified. Can anybody save us? Is there anybody that could help us? We're in a tight spot. We're in a desperate situation. And I don't know if this poor wise man raised a hand and said, I can help. But there's some things we don't hear here that caught my attention. He doesn't say, will you pay me? Remember, he's poor. He could have easily thought, well, finally, my ship has come in. Here's me a chance to get some recognition finally. He did not say, will you name a street after me? He did not say, will you name a building after me? He didn't say, will you name a school after me? He did not say, will you put up a plaque on the city gate with my name on it? He didn't ask for a statue in the town square. We know none of this happened because the text says, no one remembered the poor, wise man. But he did what was right anyway. Don't miss that. We're not even told how he delivered the city. Maybe he was wise enough to cry out to God. He may have understood the principle, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're not told. But he delivered the city. And when you look at verse 16 closely, it says, wisdom is always better than strength. It's better than an army. Wisdom is always the right choice. Even if wisdom is despised by others and they will not listen to wisdom, wisdom is always best. Wisdom is still to be prized over earthly might. Solomon understood that. Even in deep despair and struggling to make sense of everything that happened to him and where he was and what he's seen, he realized wisdom is always better. It says in verse 17, sometimes a wise man's words may not be loud, but what he says is always worth hearing. I don't know if it's referring about the poor wise man. Maybe he had a soft voice. And he had to say the second and third time, I can help you. I know what to do. What did he say? Who's that speaking? He said, I can help you. I know what to do. A man of wisdom, even though he may have a soft voice, is always worth hearing. I thought about this, and here's what I thought. Whose name most naturally comes to mind when you hear of a poor man full of wisdom who became a savior but whose life and teaching have been rejected? Who do you think about? You should be thinking about Jesus. It's done to him every day. Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's done to Jesus every day. And like the wise man, it says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He delivered us from our life of sin. He delivered us from our life of mistakes. He delivered us, and not only delivered us, give us the promise of heaven and eternal life. Listen to the descriptions of Jesus found in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things on the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His wisdom is always better. The Bible tells us real wisdom is Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is our wisdom, but yet he is the Savior we scorn. He is the Savior that many reject. Wisdom this morning is a person. It's no longer an idea. It's Jesus himself. Jesus is the wise man that makes us wise. Jesus is the poor man that makes us rich. Yet we reject him and don't listen to him. Paul Deaver, in his book, makes a great point. He says about Isaiah 53 that it explains the wisdom and foolishness of Ecclesiastes 7 through 11, where Solomon is struggling with this wisdom and foolishness issue. The righteous man got what the wicked deserved, Deaver says, so the wicked could get what the righteous deserved. The poor wise Savior who rescued the world is rejected and despised because the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world, and the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Listen to what Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. There it is again. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What the world sometimes sees is foolishness, standing and preaching. And I love you preachers. God calls the wisdom of God. He calls it the way of salvation. He says it's the gospel that goes forth when men stand and preach that is the salvation of the world. It is the only way to heaven. So to you preachers, I'd say keep on preaching. It blessed and pleased God to save through a cross that looked like foolishness. This morning I would say turn to Christ. He can free you from brokenness and meaningless. Let Jesus turn your foolishness into wisdom. And then Solomon has verse 18. And I think verse 18 just nails down the truth. One man can do a lot. Again, he said wisdom is better than weapons of war. Because he proved that in his story. That one wise man's wisdom, whether it was recognized, whether they remembered his name or not, was better than that army. He says that. But then he says something else. But one sinner destroyeth much good. And we'll elaborate on that more next Sunday, because verse 10 ties back in the end of verse 9. But I think it just nails down that truth. One man can do a lot. One wise man can do a lot of good, and one man can do a lot of damage. Sin can do a lot of damage. An unknown wise man can do more than a well-known sinner. I'm just going to tell you that. He may not be loud, might not anybody listen. It's like the foolishness of preaching. But men, you keep on preaching, and you declare the way to heaven. He'll undo all the sin there is in the world. He's already victorious over it. Because there is an enemy this morning trying to put us under siege. It's not COVID-19. It's not the pandemic. It's Satan. And may you pay little attention to the preacher trying to warn you, but you should. Satan is going to attack you. He's going to do some things you never imagined would ever happen to you. He's going to put you under siege. So listen to wisdom. Listen to those that are trying to help you. Listen to those that are trying to warn you. See, we're all going to face the final enemy, which is death. And you know, Solomon's has struggled throughout with that. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So we have that enemy before us. We decide right now how we're going to deal with it. How we're going to handle that final enemy. If you are living for this life only, it will not go well for you when that final enemy appears. But if you are living for something more, something better, something beyond this life, it'll go well with you. It'll go well with you. Turn from sin. Turn to wisdom. Trust in Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Follow that up with 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was victorious over death, we will be to our... That final enemy have no hold on us. That final enemy is taking people out of our ranks every week. We read several families that lost loved ones, but praise be to God, that final enemy, for those that are saved, turns out to be a friend. You're in the presence of God. But thanks be to God, which gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you tired of this under the sun living? If you are, turn to Christ. You too can have a victorious life in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray there be those here this morning, maybe even listening at home, that will be tired of this under the sun living. Pandemic or not, quarantined or not, they need to make a decision this morning. What's it going to be? Am I ready for death? Am I ready to step over? Will it be heaven or hell? And God, for those that may be wrestling with that, I pray they turn to the wisdom of God, which is a person, and his name is Jesus. And they'll ask him to forgive them of their sins and to save their soul. And they mean that from their heart. They'll have victory over that final enemy called death this morning. So I pray, Lord, for those that may be praying right now, God, that they put their trust in you. Oh, they'll be rejoicing in the presence of the angels that one more has come home. God, I pray now you speak during this invitation. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. For you that are with us on Facebook Live, we're going to end here in just a second. Again, if you are have trusted Christ this morning or you need to contact us here at the church, please call 728-2211. Whoever's here will put you in touch with one of the pastors. And we'd love to pray with you, talk to you. So at this time, we're going to wish you farewell, and we hope to be back with you next Sunday. And you that are here this morning, maybe you're here and you need to make a decision to follow Christ. If you're intimidated by people watching home, they're not. You're amongst loved ones here. People are praying for you that love you, and you know you need to make a move. Whatever your need is this morning, won't you come? Whether it be for salvation, baptism, church membership, just a heavy burden you want to bring to the altar, whatever that might be, won't you come?
Stand together if you would, please, and we're going to sing, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go."
This morning, God is speaking to you. We invite you to come. Listen to the words this morning.
My master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
This verse, if God is speaking to you this morning, you come.
He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Again, thank you this morning for your good attention, being here with us today. Just remember the announcement, things going on. Things are starting to ease back in place. Youth are meeting on Wednesday night. We're social distancing, following all the guidelines. Our top priority is to keep you safe, to keep you informed. But yet, we got to keep serving. We just cannot shut down. I'm so proud of the staff here at the church of how they just kept moving forward. Creative and new ideas, so they have led you well, and I pray that you recognize them for that. Again, I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. Is there anything, Gary, anything else we need to do? Allison, anything? All right. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in your presence, to look into your word, and I pray, God, that you'll just bless us in it. Lord, we pray for Charles. He goes to community chapel this morning. You'll bless him, speak through him in a powerful way, and all the others that are standing and doing ministry, God, that you would just be with them. They'd feel your presence, feel your power, even during this pandemic. So, God, I pray with For our folks this morning, again, keep us safe. Be with us, all those that are hurting, all those on the prayer list, all those lost loved ones. God, that you just be with them in a real and tangible way this morning. Again, Father, we love you. Thank you for all you do for us. And we ask you to be with us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're on this side, if you'd